Hello and welcome to another episode of Everything is Canon, the Centerlings podcast. I'm your host, Steve Duncan. However you may have found your way here, thanks so much for tuning in. On this podcast, we invite authors from all genres onto the show to discuss their latest books and novels, as well as just about anything else that comes to mind. If you want to reach me, there are several ways to do so, but the best way is to email me at steve@centerlings.com, or you can always find me on Twitter at SteveDunk5 or at EverythingCanon. Today in the show, I'm talking to Rachel Lippincott all about her solo debut, The Lucky List, which is described as a gripping new romance, a captivating, heartfelt love story about learning who you are and who you love when the person you've always shared yourself with is gone. Perfect for fans of Perks of Being a Wallflower and Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda. The Lucky List is most definitely a plucky, fun, savage romance that follows Emily as her life is turned upside down when an old friend returns to town. All that is definitely true. But what's also true is that The Lucky List takes an honest and thoughtful approach to grief and loss and how to never take for granted having those you love around you. We talk about a funny Goodreads review, international book blurbs, the fact that Rachel and her wife are doing their own Lucky List, and the book, of course, and much, much more. While this is a spoiler-free discussion, the odd minor detail may slip out, so if you haven't read the book and don't wish to be spoiled at all, better stop listening now, but definitely double back once you've read it. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. As always, around these parts, we encourage supporting authors and stories that affirm the lives of people other than ourselves. Each time we either engage in a conversation, whether it be online or face-to-face, or each time we participate in the market with our purchasing choices, this should be done all year long, of course. Also, June is, of course, Pride Month, so support LGBTQ plus authors any way that you can, either by boosting them online, buying their books, leaving reviews, etc. And again, that kind of support shouldn't stop June 30th. It should go all year long. And lastly, I'd like to mention a new virtual book fest that is happening on June 11th to 13th. It's called the Pride Book Fest, and they're holding its inaugural event and is looking to celebrate LGBTQ plus authors and books. And when I say they have just about everybody, I mean they just have everybody. So look them up on Instagram and Twitter. It's Pride Book Fest, all one word, to find out more. Okay, Rachel Lippincott is the co-author of All This Time and the number one New York Times bestseller, 5 Feet Apart, along with Mickey Daughtry. We know Mickey. She holds a BA in English, writing from the University of Pittsburgh, originally from Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and she currently resides in Pittsburgh with her wife and their dog, Hank. She's here today to talk about her brand new book, The Lucky List, which is described as a gripping new romance, a captivating, heartfelt love story about learning who you are and who you love when the person you've always shared yourself with is gone. Perfect for fans of The Perks of Being a Wallflower and Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda. Did you choose those comps?
I did not, but okay. I love those. They're excellent comps. I mean, I'm no complaint there.
Please welcome back to the show, Rachel Lippincott. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, thank you so much for having me back.
Sure, of course. We were just talking about the pandemic offline there, and you're going to get your second shot tomorrow. So that's amazing.
I am.
That's so great. I'm so happy for all my friends in the US who are getting through that part of it, because I was talking to some other, this is my third interview today, actually.
Oh, wow.
And you know, I was saying to one of them earlier, this actually part scares me a little bit more. The transition scares me a little bit more, I think, than like, because when you're in it last year, the rules are clear. The rules of engagement are clear.
Yeah.
right. You know where you can go, what you can do, what you can, all that stuff. And it's they're a little bit murkier now, aren't they? Like,
it's, no, for sure. Yeah. So it was, I totally agree. That was super straightforward last year. And now it's like, there was like, can people that are vaccinated hang out with unvaccinated people? And then
long after you get the vaccine, you're because there's shedding and there's different vaccines and they're giving you different. It's just like, it's very confusing.
It's like a riddle. You're like, I don't understand this and I can't break it apart.
So let me ask you then, you're going to get your second shot tomorrow.
I am.
Are you going to like burn that mask like a bra in the 70s, or are you going to, or are you going to stick with it for a while? Like, what are you going to, what's your plan?
Oh man. Yeah. I feel like I'm definitely going to stick with it. I think,
Me too.
You know, if I'm like hanging out with friends, just going to each other's houses kind of thing, I probably won't. But yeah, I think like in public spaces, going out to eat, that kind of thing. I think it's going to also just take a while to get used to like being around people without a mask on again, even if you are like at a restaurant eating and hanging out in that kind of, you know, area and formula, like it's wild to me just like to be able to see other people's faces like that. I think it's gonna take a minute.
What's the deal in Pittsburgh right now? Like, restaurants are open, not open, what's going on?
They're open. I actually think I'm gonna have to check the validity on this, but yeah, I think at the end of May, they're set to, in Pennsylvania, maybe just completely remove the mask mandate, which I do not fully agree with. But we'll see.
That's a, yeah. I mean, it's got to happen. It has to happen at some point, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is,
yeah.
And, you know, some, there's just going to be more resistant places than others for sure. And I don't, I don't think there's anything wrong with keeping, you know, you're going to take it off when you sit down anyways, obviously.
Yes.
So, I mean, I don't think it's a big deal to have to wear it before you get to your I don't know. It's so weird to me because it's such a simple thing, but yet so many people just fucking hate it, right? And refuse to do it. So it's just, it is beyond bizarre. The things
it really is.
People are refusing to do right now in the name of just empathy, essentially. another thing I was talking earlier with somebody about, like, their book is just pure empathy. And I'm just like, imagine the world, even if there was just a little more in the world empathy. But anyways.
Mm-hmm. I think about that a lot, actually.
Yeah, right? So, yeah, lately I have been too. And it's just depressing because there's so little of it going around these days. And
goodness.
I don't know. Yeah. Anyways, before we get going here, I do need to ask you a little favor. Can you please update your goddamn website?
Oh my God. I'm so close to the release and it is high time that I updated my website.
Yeah, it's time. It's time.
I'm going to do it. Yeah. Honestly, if I like get the vaccine after I get the vaccine, if I'm down for a couple of days, that's the perfect time. Just go on, put some new colors, add my, like, I don't even think I have the cover for the lucky list. Is that right?
Are you kidding me? All this time's not even on there.
Oh geez. Yeah. That's good to know.
I'm serious. Yeah. Yeah. Update your website. There's a little friendly reminder for you.
I appreciate it.
So I'm so happy you're here. We have talked before. How is Mickey, by the way? Have you talked to her lately?
Yeah, Mickey's doing well. Yeah. Talk to her every now and then, but yeah, she's always busy. She's always working, which I love about her. It's really cool and inspiring, but yeah.
Are you
couple
guys
things in the works.
I was going to ask, are still a team or going to work together again? Or
No plans for that. But
Mickey's
got a bunch of stuff in the works. Night Books is coming out on Netflix. That's something that she's working on. Just a whole bunch of other cool stuff. So she's always up to something.
Your previous stuff was with her. And I just want to say huge congratulations. This is your solo debut.
Thank you.
In honor of it, I'm actually drinking wine right now. I'll slurp it.
Perfect.
So I'm drinking some Malbec just for you.
I appreciate it.
Awesome. Huge congratulations. I'm so happy for you.
I'm super thrilled as well.
Must feel pretty great.
It does. Yeah. It's really interesting because, you know, as you mentioned, I did have the two previous books with Mickey. And then, so in a lot of ways, it's like my debut. But I've like also been around the bend two other times. So it's cool. It's a lot of like different emotions, different kind of excitement from the previous two, new excitement in a way. So,
yeah, everything's, you know, obviously you have a support system, but, those were just warm-ups, we'll call them for you, you know, just little preambles to the real stuff, right?
Oh, jeez.
No, of course not. They were great. They were great. And I have to think you learned a ton from Mickey. And
So much. Yeah, absolutely. So. Absolutely. That entire process, both books, you know, learned so much about, you know, there's the deadlines. And then I think I also just learned, I definitely work better off of an outline and, you know, just having the screenplay as this incredible foundation to, you know, build the book adaptation off of really taught me a lot about, you know, writing in general.
Well, that's amazing because, you know, I've talked to a ton of, authors who didn't do an outline for their first book, but then immediately did for their second book.
Oh, wow.
They learned that lesson quickly and the hard way, right?
Yeah.
And, everyone's different. Some people like outlining, some people don't. That's a good point because, God, this, you know, writing is editing, right? And process and everything else. And yeah, you must have picked up so much. Did you feel that confidence when it came time to doing the lucky list or?
You know, I really think it did help.
Yeah.
I sat down and I kind of knew what worked best for me in a way that I don't think I would have if the lucky list had been my first book, just kind of like you mentioned, I knew that the outline worked best for me. I kind of knew what to do when I came across writer's block. I also kind of knew like small stuff, like how to hit my deadlines effectively and also get some rest instead of just hitting your deadlines and like being completely exhausted for the next week and just like catching up on sleep. It was definitely helpful that I had the first two books. And I really think I learned a lot about myself as a writer.
Oh, that's really great. How long did it take you to write the lucky list?
Oh, that's a good question.
first draft, well, obviously.
Yeah. Well, it's really tough to say because, you know, from, I always get the initial idea for a story and then I kind of sit on it and think about it for a while. But I would say like actually sitting down, putting pen to paper, working on the first draft, probably about 3 months.
Okay. That's, I'd say that's average. When did you come up with the idea then?
Yeah, I came up with the idea probably in 2018, okay. August 2018. I went on a like lake trip with my in-laws, actually in Canada. Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
That was pretty fun. Yeah. They live in kind of middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania. So it's only like a 2-hour drive to get over the border.
Right.
But yeah, I was just like so swept up in, you know, the glittering waters and the evening sunsets that I kind of wanted to write a story that kind of captured the magic of summer. And I feel like
none of that was in the book, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Just skipped right over it. Yeah,
that's
just
the summary, basically.
I was like, just a bunch of people in winter thinking about it. So.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think it was then that I really had the idea for it.
Okay, and was somebody already on board, or did you have to query it, or what'd you do?
Yeah, I did. We submitted it just to my editor at Simon & Schuster, who I worked with on 5 Feet Apart and right. All This Time.
Okay. Had you queried stuff before?
No, actually that was, yeah, that was kind of my first time. Yeah.
Nice. Don't let it go to your head, please.
I will not. Yeah.
Not every book gets turned not every book gets turned into a series or a movie and, not every first query gets picked. Anyway, now you know that.
Definitely.
That's amazing though. That's really great. Okay. So you wrote this before the pandemic then?
I actually wrote it kind of during the pandemic.
I guess edits probably during the pandemic for sure.
Yeah, no, what ended up happening is it like sold like right after I got word about All This Time.
Yeah.
And so I actually put it on pause for a year to write and edit All This Time with Mickey and our editor at Simon & Schuster, Alexa. And then I think actually like February was when I started, February of last year was when, you know, first draft was kind of due. So it was very much
right
in the thick pandemic, but yeah, it was just like the book that I wrote during the pandemic, which is really interesting. It was kind of a good escape, I think.
Well, yeah, I've heard that a lot where it was a nice distraction for people who didn't have to write during the pandemic. And, I mean, the fact is when you're writing, you're a shut in anyway. So
yes. Like,
I mean, the only thing I heard from people, other writers was, normally they like to write in a coffee shop, say for example, or something like that. So that changed obviously, but I mean, you're a recluse anyways when you're writing. So, you know what I mean? So in that situation the pandemic didn't, you know, affect that necessarily. What I am looking forward to seeing is what stories have, you know, 2020 birthed, you know what I mean?
Like, I'm so interested in that too.
Is it going to be optimism, cynicism,
a mix of the two.
Like I talk, you know, some authors have said they just didn't feel creative at all, so they didn't write anything.
Yeah, definitely.
I know some have said if they didn't have a deadline, they wouldn't have wrote anything. So it's kind of all over the place. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what comes out of it. But
yeah, I totally agree with that. Yeah. It's definitely a mix from what I've heard from my friends as well. You know, right. I've had some people that are like, I came up with another idea this week. And you're like, that's your 10th one this month. And then just other people that are like really pulling teeth and, you know,
deadlines
get pushed back. And
they're like, I'm thinking about a pandemic book, but I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, nah, don't do that. Yeah.
Don't.
How about sapphic romance books? Let's let's stick with that.
No, for sure.
Right? Because, you know, it's just pure love, pure joy. And I think we need more of that. So
definitely.
I'm starting a brand new segment tonight with you on the show.
I love it.
I had this idea a couple months ago, actually, it's slightly different, where I was going to start reviewing Goodreads reviews.
Oh my gosh. Oh no.
And I haven't decided if I'm going to do that yet, but what I'm going to do tonight is I grab a random Goodreads review for your book and ask you to comment on it.
Okay.
This is a harmless one too. It's not like some crazy, homophobe or anything like that, but, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't give that person the time of day, but this one's pretty funny. Actually, it says, this one's pretty funny. And this is all they wrote, by the way, this is their entire review.
I feel like I know exactly the one you're about to read.
Do you know this person then?
I don't know this person. No.
Okay. I'm almost a little tired of the Lippincott emotional porn books, but how am I supposed to say no to that cover? So was that, is that the one you were thinking of?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. It was. Oh my gosh.
What do you think?
Hysterical.
What do you think? First of all, what do you is Lippincott emotional porn a real thing?
First of all, in theory, I mean, I guess maybe, I feel like this book is just a tad bit lighter than the previous two.
Sure. I would agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. But I totally agree on the cover front. I mean, if that's it's a gorgeous cover. I mean, if that's the thing that pushes her over the edge, it's fine. Take and buy the book.
It's so funny.
Yeah, I think that's pretty hysterical.
That's a pretty funny line. Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was pretty funny too. Speaking of the cover, have you seen like on NetGalley, there was like a UK Australia cover. Have you seen the other cover?
Oh my gosh. I absolutely love it. I really love the quote that they added on that at the very top.
No, really don't cute. Say, I'm going to say it. I'm going to quote
okay,
that.
Okay. Never
too.
Mind. You go.
But I'm going to stop it short because I think it would have been hilarious if they left it at two girls, one list.
Oh my gosh. I know. I did have that thought as well. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
That no, stupid definitely. Clip that has ruined everything for everybody. And you can't say two girls and not think of that stupid thing.
It
that
really
went
did.
Years ago.
Yeah. And but, I feel like 5 feet apart definitely also got that like treatment as well. Cause it turned into like that classic meme that was like two bros in a hot tub, 5 feet
right,
apart kind of
right.
thing. But yeah, I definitely did have that thought.
Did you, two girls, one list. It goes on. I think it's a two girls, one list and something about like the greatest summer or something, right?
It's like
or,
12 chances to fall in love, which I love that.
Yeah.
But I did have that thought as well.
what does it say? Two girls, one list and 12 chances to fall in love this summer. That's the total. That's the actual quote. But yeah, two girls, one list is just really funny.
You know, I think the thing that actually made me realize it is I have started kind of like attempting book talk and like TikTok. And I was like,
yeah.
If I post this, like just like one of those Gen Zers is going to call me out on it. So that was the thing.
You're going to start getting attention you probably don't want.
I was like, nope, I'm not going to do this.
Did you ever watch Inside Amy Schumer, that her like TV series she had for a bit?
You know, I actually didn't, no.
She did a skit where she's auditioning for Two Girls, One Cup.
No.
But she doesn't know what it is, right? It's just like a random looking for actresses ad.
Right, right.
And she goes to apply for it. And then so the guy is like, introduces her to the other girl of the two girls and is sort of like running her through the scene.
Oh my goodness.
And so you know, we're not going to say it, the words and stuff, because it's just gross. But so he's like telling her what the scene is about mm-hmm, in detail. Mm-hmm. So imagine that scene, but just having somebody read it to you. And that's what that scene is.
It's, oh no.
It's really,
I'm going to probably check that out. Right.
Look
after
it up.
I get
it's,
off this call.
It's really yeah. funny. And of course, Amy's really funny in it. Cause it's
yeah.
like, because she's like, considers it right because she needs to work right and
right, yeah.
It's really funny anyway.
Oh gosh, yeah, I'll definitely have to check that out.
Check it out. I want to talk about something that you and your wife are doing actually that's related to mm-hmm. the book, but first I would just wanted to ask you that you Allison's your wife's name, right?
Yes,
yes.
Allison.
So you and Allison to me seem like one of those like super cool good-looking couples that everybody hates. Because you're so good looking and you seem so cool and everyone's just like,
oh my goodness. I'm not sure if I should say thank you or not.
And all of us regular people just look at you with like scorn and just be like, oh, you're so cool. It's so
the only that's like, oh my gosh, thank you. But yeah. The only reason that's not possible is like Allison is like such a good ray of sunshine that it's like impossible.
Well, that makes it worse.
To like, I know. Yeah.
That makes it worse. Anyways, don't answer that question. That's
I won't. No.
But anyways, yeah, I just was looking up. I think I was on your Instagram page. You posted something and I'm just
oh
like,
gosh, yeah.
And I'm just like, they're both so fucking good looking and they're just super cool. And everyone, I bet everyone hates them. But anyways.
Oh,
so for those of you that don't know, you and your beautiful wife, Allison, mm-hmm. put together a little lucky list challenge of your own.
We did. Yeah.
Yeah. So how's that going? You're not doing all 12.
We're not doing all 12. Right. Yeah. I felt like I couldn't like probably do like skinny dipping and like publish about it on like a public format without like my publicist at Simon & Schuster being like, maybe don't market a book to like 12 to 17 year olds if you're skinny dipping somewhere in Pittsburgh. But yeah, we're doing an abbreviated list, you know, get a tattoo, go on a picnic, try a new food, sleep under the stars, you know, just a couple of really fun things that we've we're really looking forward to doing. And so far it's been an absolute blast. We had a picnic last week. I kind of surprised my wife with it. We're going to get tattoos next weekend, which we're very excited for.
First tattoos or?
No, yeah, no, we both had tattoos previous to this.
Can I ask what you're getting? Do you know what you're getting?
We do know what we're getting. Yeah, we're getting, oh gosh, this is just going to like add into the thing that you previously said about us, but we're getting our our wedding anniversary date in like Roman numerals.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yep, of yep. course. So yep,
that's
whatever.
It. That's it. Yep. So, no, that's fine. That's listen, that's a nice coupley thing to do. So that's great.
But yeah, it's been really cool so far. And it's been really fun also just to do some of the items on the list. Yeah. I am afraid of heights. So we're planning something for that. And I'm genuinely a little bit afraid. So
just like Emily was, yeah.
Yeah, so it's cool to see that.
So how many, what's left then? Tattoo and then heights? What else did you have?
Tattoo, planned? Heights. We're also getting out of town next weekend too in order to get the tattoos. So that's going to be squared away. Sleep under the stars. We'll probably do that sometime this week after we heal from the vaccine.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And try a new food. I was thinking probably just get an order takeout tomorrow after just to be safe. So hang out at home, order some takeout, hydrate.
How risky are you getting with the new food? Like, what are we talking here? Like tarantulas or like, I don't know. Like,
I'm probably going to get a little risky. Allison, probably not. She's a bit more of a picky eater than I am. But yeah, I did an Instagram question today asking people and I've gotten some pretty cool responses. One person responded clam chowder and I was like, I have obviously had this before. But yeah, it's pretty funny.
Well, that's the thing. There's like, you know, I could come up with a list of foods I've never had that are just, that are normal, that are considered normal.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? But then, you know, you can come up with some weird stuff if you had to as well, right? So
definitely.
Are you going weird or are you going just something you simply never had before?
I think we're going to do two different things.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to try to go weird. I think I'm going to commit. Nice. So we'll see. We'll see how I'm feeling tomorrow. But yeah, I think I'm going to commit. Weirdest thing I can find on Uber Eats.
I don't. Yeah, that could be. I guess that's all geographical too, right? So
yeah.
That'll depend. You know, it depends where you live, maybe. But well, we'll look out for that. That'll be fun. That's such a cool idea that you guys are doing that. So
yeah, it's been a real blast so far. So
definitely. So well, I mean, you don't want to go skinny dipping now anyways. It's too freaking cold.
It is so cold. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. That was the other thing. That's why like I had to do the picnic last weekend is like, I checked ahead in the forecast and it's like, we are barely skimming 64. So yeah, there's no way I'm like jumping in a body of water right now.
It's easy when it's in the summer, like the book.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
All right. Lucky list. The summer's not that long. So I'm going to read it unless you want practice doing your elevator spiel.
You're good. I mean, that is my least favorite thing.
Yes, I know. That's why I don't even like asking you anymore. But all right. Emily and her mom were always lucky, but Emily's mom's luck ran out 3 years ago when she succumbed to cancer and nothing has felt right since. Now, the summer before her senior year, things are worse than ever. Emily has wrecked things with her boyfriend, Matt, and her dad is selling the house she grew up in and giving her mom's belongings away. The only person she has had to talk to is Blake, a girl she barely knows since she and her dad moved back to town 5 seconds ago. But that's when Emily finds the list, her mom's senior year summer bucket list, buried in the back of her closet. When Blake suggests that Emily take it on as a challenge, the two set off on a journey to tick each box and help Emily face her fears over losing her connection to her mom. As she starts to feel closer to her mother, so too does Emily's bond with Blake deepen into something she wasn't expecting. And suddenly, Emily must face another fear, accepting the secret part of herself she never got a chance to share with the person who knew her best. Pretty good summary, I guess. That kind of, yeah.
Although,
I guess, it, you know, I was going to say, never actually says lucky list. I guess it says list. What's the inspiration for this story, though? Like, what, you were sitting around one day and you talked about sort of, you know, you went up north there.
Yeah.
Was that it or
no? I mean, that was a lot of it, you know. Yeah. I think just like trying to capture that like magic of summer, the possibility. And also just, I think as a high schooler, you know, how much growth can happen over those months outside the classroom.
Yep.
And I really kind of wanted, you know, this character, the character of Emily to, you know, kind of have this moment where she's discovering her sexuality and coming into her own and all of these really big things at a point in her life where it feels very impossible. You know, at the start of the summer, her life is in shambles. And she just has this incredible summer of self-discovery and healing and, you know, fighting back against all of her fear and uncertainty and kind of becoming the person that she really wants to be. So yeah, that was definitely a huge part of it. And then also, you know, I grew up in Pennsylvania, so right. I really kind of wanted to set a story in just a small, charming, chaotic town that could honestly be anywhere in Pennsylvania. You know, right. you got the rural, the suburban clash happening. You got a ton of cows,
right.
big mansions, all that stuff.
Right. And you're not, you know, you're stone's throw from a large city if you had to. Yeah. Or, yeah. Yeah. So
for sure. Get, for sure.
I've read a few books this year where, you know, the senior year is so important, mm-hmm. right? It's such a trick because mm-hmm. that is like, you know, you're saying, you know, saying goodbye to childhood essentially at mm-hmm. that point, and you've got some big decisions to make, big life decisions to make. And what is it about, like, do you remember your senior year in high school? Did you feel like the weight of the world? Like, there's a lot going on, and to make a decision, some of the decisions that, you know, aside from deciding your identity, right? Mm-hmm. Or your sexual orientation, you've got colleges and universities to pick. You've got to pick your life. I mean,
definitely.
At that point, that's a lot to throw at somebody at their senior year.
It really, you're yeah. 18 and they're like, pick yeah. your college, pick your major, figure it's right yourself out.
Right. It's right on the edge of YA too, right? I mean, that's the upper limit of YA. Yes. So, yeah. I mean, if, you know, any next, you know, the Lucky List part two will be an adult.
Right. There you go. Yeah, no, definitely.
Where they just hate each other.
They just hate each other.
The list is still, they haven't finished it. It's like weighing on their relationship. Like this list is tearing us apart. Anyways.
That's yeah. too funny.
There you go. Anyways, sorry. Yeah. So what, it was just too tasty. Was it the senior year idea or?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I think, yeah, there's so much pressure. I know I definitely had a lot of pressure that I put on myself going into senior year. And you kind of do have this expectation. I think like, this is it. This is your last hurrah before things get serious.
Yeah.
And you know, you have to make some big decisions, and you also have like prom and, you know, picking schools, applying to schools, maybe seeing a couple schools, figuring out what you're doing, where you're going, say goodbye to your friends possibly. I think it was just like all of that. And she really wanted her senior year to be special, I think, as we all do. And now she's in the summer and she's looking at her senior year coming up and things are not looking good. So, right. so yeah, I really wanted to kind of build up to that.
It's such a weird thing, eh? Isn't it? Like there's so much emphasis put on high school in general, like 4 years, five for some of the dumb kids. And, you know, it's the relationships you have are so insane, right? Cause it's peaks and lows. It's like the most in love you're ever going to be. And it's the most depressed you're ever going to be.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
For sure. 100%.
And then you get this, and then you form such tight bonds with people that you'll never mm-hmm. forget. And it's in many ways is, you know, the best and worst times of your life. And then you just all pick schools far away from each other and never talk to each other again.
That's so true.
Isn't it weird? It's such a strange thing. Like,
yeah,
it was never like, you know, I don't know if it's just maybe this is school I went to or just less in Canada in general, but everybody stayed like, listen, the entire senior class didn't go to the same college university. I'm not saying that.
Right.
But a lot of people did. Like a lot of people stayed within, or at least stayed within sort of like 2-3 hours or, uh-huh. you know, uh-huh. like there was a very few people that like changed provinces or went across the country even.
Right.
Yeah. Very few. So I don't know. It's a weird, weird thing. I mean, maybe if I grew up in Huckabee, I would, I'd want to get the hell out too, but I don't
for
know.
Sure.
Yeah. Kind of a strange thing, but anyways.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think the other thing with Pennsylvania, and this happens a lot, I ended up going to Pitt, which is directly across the state from where I grew up. Mm-hmm. And the University of Pittsburgh has a huge population of people coming from Philly because, you know, you still get the in-state tuition, but it feels right. like you're in another state, you know, you're like 5-6 hours away. But yeah, you still get that tuition perk.
Was that why? Like, did you have like, were you California dreaming or anything like that? Or were you fine with staying in
state? I like actually went to school in New York City for like a second before right. I ended up transferring to Pitt because my best friend was at GW.
Okay.
And I was at the new school. I was doing like a dual program between Parsons and their Eugene, whatever, doesn't matter. I don't know what I was doing, but
that's fine. Meeting your future wife.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. So we both transferred into Pitt together, my best friend from high school and I. And then, you know, I don't think I had a plan. I just knew that I didn't want to be in New York City anymore at that point. So.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's sometimes that's good enough, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And it was the best decision I've ever made. So
amazing. And that's the thing. It's like going back to like, you know, you're 18 and they want you to plan your whole friggin' life. Like you don't fucking change so much.
For sure. You like, really do.
Yeah, yeah. At any point, was this book called An Invincible Summer?
It was.
I knew it.
How did you know it was? Yes, it got changed maybe even before I put it on. It was on sub.
Okay.
Or maybe my editor was the one that came up with the title like a minute after we put it on sub. But yeah, it was An Invincible Summer. That was what I sent it to my agent as.
Yeah, well, I was reading the book and that comes up the first time. And I'm like, I bet that was the name of this book. Because it's like, it's almost like, why isn't the book called this?
Yeah.
You know, right. In a lot of ways. And it would have worked fine. I mean, Lucky List is great too. Nothing against that title. And it actually does make more sense. right. But I remember the first time reading that line and I was like, I bet this book was.
It was, you highlighted it. You're like, yeah. This is definitely what
I did.
It was.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
At least one draft. Yeah.
Yeah.
You are so, correct.
It there you go. All right. God, finally yeah. I got one right. Finally. And what's with Jim Donovan and Bingo? Like, what's his problem?
Oh my gosh.
What's his it problem? Is like, what's his problem?
It is, that is an excellent question. It is honestly, that was like a, multiple things. First of all, I love Bingo. Like at my after school care when I was in elementary school, I played.
I'm going to interrupt you really quickly just because people won't have a clue what we're talking about. So
really
for context, in the town of Huckabee, one of the great social events is Bingo. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I won't say the whole town, but a good chunk of the town goes to Bingo. I can't remember the frequency. Was it weekly? I can't
monthly. Remember
what it, monthly. Yeah. And then you go for ice cream after, and there's this guy, Jim Donovan, there who takes Bingo really seriously.
He does. It is.
All right. So sorry, I interrupted your
life. Yeah. But yeah, no, like, so growing up, I really loved Bingo, but also just like my life, my wife is also from small town, more small town than even I am, middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania. Okay. And like Bingo is such a thing there. Every time they have like carnivals or like festivals or anything happening, there's always just like a bunch of people playing Bingo and people take it so seriously, like as seriously as the book. And so, yeah, it was just like a bit of what I've kind of seen, a bit of like, you know, making it a little bit more interesting than it possibly sure. has been. But yeah, no, for sure. Some people just take things like that crazy seriously, like spending $100 on Bingo cards. All that kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, when there's competition involved, I guess you're going to get all sorts of people, but,
for sure.
well, what I have in my town is I'm outside of Toronto now a little bit, we moved out and, it's a smaller ish town. And they have TV Bingo here. Ooh. And so it's on TV every, I think it's Wednesday nights or Tuesday nights. And you go to like, there's a couple of stores around town that sell Bingo cards. And then you just gather around the TV and play Bingo.
Oh my gosh,
and then if you win, you call in and whatever. So like I haven't been, but there's like people throw parties. I mean, not lately, but, non-pandemic,
right.
They like buddies, dudes, like we'll get together and like smoke tons of pot.
That is amazing.
Drink tons of beer, like have dude parties,
right,
and they're all playing TV Bingo.
Yeah, oh, that is so great.
It's a thing around here and they keep inviting me to it. I'm just like, and I have nothing against Bingo. I could care less about it, but it's just, that would just require me going out is really the problem. Leaving my house is the problem, not TV Bingo. But yeah, anyways, it's kind of a funny thing. And that's not something I really encountered until I moved up here. So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I think some people are just all about Bingo and it can be really entertaining going to, you know, a Bingo hall or just some kind of Bingo event where the people are really invested.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like I know people that, yeah, like, too way too dabbers and cards and like Lucky, they set up like their desk with Lucky trinkets and right, like
little superstitious sure.
things. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this is because I read too much sci-fi, but did the Bingo numbers in the book mean anything?
No, I mean, just
okay.
Yeah. A couple of them were, oh gosh, a couple of them were like my favorite numbers from my childhood Bingo card that I used at after school care, but
Yeah. Anytime not... I see numbers, because of sci-fi, right? Every number means something when you're reading a sci-fi book. So I just thought, I'm like,
that would be cool though. I maybe should have done that.
I didn't go as far as like scribbling them out and trying to like rearrange them to see if they meant something specific.
Or that would have been cool. But yeah.
next time, book two.
Yeah. Book two.
Right. So, you know, this is not groundbreaking when I say this. These stories are pretty much entirely about the journey, right? As the end is, mm-hmm. is sometimes predictable, even promoted on the cover is, or the synopsis sort of,
yes,
it's a romance. So, you know, like we can, it's, if they don't end up together, then it's not a romance, right? Then it's, right. then it's something, it's tragedy. But, you know, we typically know how these things go. So it's the journey that's important. All these little, these steps leading up to the, you know, you need a big finish basically. So, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We're not going to do any spoilers and stuff in this one, but, but there is a big finish.
Yes.
And did you write this story linearly? Is that a word? Linearly.
Yes. Also difficult for me to say, but I did. Yeah.
You did. Okay. It. And then the ending just sort of came to you organic. Like, were you pantsing it or did you?
No. Yeah. It just really came to me. I actually think I initially wrote it maybe just their first day of school, but I was like, no, this is full circle kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it just like really came to me. And I think that's maybe my favorite chapter in the book.
I've reread the end. Yeah. Like a dozen times, probably just that moment, especially because it's really, yes. it's done really, it's just nice. It's like a really nice, it just even
feels good. Yeah.
It feels good. Like they earned it.
Yes.
Right.
That's
for
cool
sure.
To hear.
Yeah. That, like, and just visually probably play very well on a screen. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it just seems like a really nice thing.
For sure.
If you've been, you know, anyone listening, we may have tipped it off a little bit, but we won't, that's as far as I'll go with it. So this is the book is as advertised. It's full of sappiness, loveliness, saccharine moments. You're going to like fall in love with pretty much everybody in the book, except for Jim Donovan.
Except for Jim Donovan.
He's the only bad guy. There are no bad guys in the books. Even, you know, in the synopsis, it talks about Emily with her ex-boyfriend, Matt. Mm-hmm. Matt's a good guy.
He is a good guy. Yeah.
He's not some asshole. Emily's just kind of fucked up right now, right? Like she's got some issues and you know, so she's got
to work. Just not the right guy for her either.
It's not the right guy. It's just call it timing, call it gender.
Yeah.
Call it whatever you want.
Yeah.
But this is something you establish in the book though, is that there is mm-hmm. something inside of mm-hmm. her that just needed to be awakened. And it was sort of like, you know, it wasn't, that fire wasn't put out when her mom died, but you know, pretty damn close anyways.
Absolutely.
Because grief took over and that's a big part of this book. So let's talk about that. You know, anytime you lose a parent is tough, but mm-hmm. I think, mm-hmm. you know, a teenage girl losing her mother,
so big.
That's big, right?
Yeah, it absolutely is. Yeah. Especially she was so close to her mother too.
That's, you know, like she was everything, right?
Yeah, she really was.
Talk about that, because I think you handled it really well, because I mean, this is borderline, you know, I mean, Emily's never, she's never depressed in it. I wouldn't say she's depressed in it, but she took it hard. Of course she took it hard.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
And there's a lot of unresolved things, because when you lose a parent that quickly or anyone that mm-hmm. quickly, there's unresolved issues.
Absolutely.
Just things you never got to say or things you just never got to do. So talk mm-hmm. about that, sort of how you approach that subject, because that's, I mean, talk about eggshells, right?
Yeah, especially at such a pivotal time in her life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was a lot of things for me. My mom did have cancer. She was diagnosed with cancer when I was in high school. She thankfully went into remission, but it mm-hmm. was also right around the same time that I started having a bit of an aha moment about my sexuality.
Yep.
And like Emily, I did keep it a secret because I didn't really want to add any more to the plate during, you know, this very fraught, difficult time. And, you know, I think that was also maybe a bit of a spark of inspiration for me. You know, what if I had never gotten the chance to tell her, never got that closure. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was definitely a bit of a reflection, but yeah, just the idea of that. I think grief in general, just Emily's experience with healing and coming into her own and self-discovery and, you know, opening herself up to this part of herself that she's closed off for all of these years, all of these things that she's closed off from for all of these years. I think that was really something that I wanted to, you know, capture in this, and how, you know, meeting Blake and how finding the list and how all these parts helped her kind of reclaim herself again at a time when she you know, didn't really think that was possible.
So
that was really important for me.
Oh, and was that tough to write then? Because it's you, now I didn't realize, you know, it was personal.
Yeah, I mean, I think it came really naturally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think it was definitely personal, but I think I understood Emily, and I think that just helped a little bit. Right. With all that coming onto the page.
Yeah, right on. Well, that's great to hear. Not that your mom had cancer. That came out wrong.
Yeah, no, you're good.
My dad died from cancer, so it's fine. It's tough, man. It's a tough thing to do, and I'm so happy that your mom is still around. Happy Mother's Day to her. Post.
Yeah. Happy Mother's Day, mom.
Yeah. So that's really great. And has she read the book yet?
She has. Yeah. I also, people are going to see this soon. I also dedicated it to her. So it was really good for her to read it.
And I know I sort of messaged you, you know, the other day, and I am a sap, and there's a spot at the end where I started bawling. you know, which part.
Yeah.
I held it together pretty good until the end. The dam broke. At that point of the end, it has to do with her mother, and just a really, really great moment, that great scene. And Clark is really great in that scene too. So the dad is still around and he's having a tough time as well. Mm-hmm. Right. Like it's tough for us men, right? We're not so great with the feelings.
Yeah, the feelings.
and so he struggles too. He's kind of just sort of like doing the best he can, you know, trying to make the right decisions.
Yeah.
Seem to make any right decisions. And, you know, having to raise a teenage girl who's struggling as well. And I think he does a commendable job. You know what I mean?
He does his best. He really does his best.
Yeah. And he does and says a couple things at the end, which was really great. And
yeah, absolutely
fantastic. So shout out to happy dad for Clark. He's a good dad.
a great guy.
He is a great guy. I don't know why you did this to Blake, but I've been to Hawaii. Mm. And I couldn't imagine moving from Hawaii to Huckabee.
Oh gosh, yeah, me neither.
and then Johnny, your dad too, I guess. But and they had reasons too, obviously, and good ones, family reason. They had to, and that's fine too. But so you have, Blake lost her mother as well.
Yes.
And
yes,
she did. So you not only do you put Blake through losing her mother, but then you rip her from Kauai.
Yeah, into the middle of Pennsylvania.
You go from being surrounded by the ocean to surrounded by cows.
Yes. bit of a shock for sure.
So this is a Greek play at this point. You need somebody to snap Emily out of this funk she's in. You need somebody pretty great. And talk about sort of like, what was the idea? You know, it's maybe not Aphrodite, but you know, you need somebody who stands out in the crowd anyways, right?
For sure. Yeah, Blake definitely was that character. Blake is interesting. She's a mixture between this, I'm not gonna say any names because I don't want people creep, but an actual surfer from Hawaii, and also, you know, my wife, hate to go back to that, but very much personality wise, I think that just a healthy mindset on life and just like an infectious enthusiasm, always game to try new things and go on adventures. Just like having a character like that, that kind of, they learn from each other, but they also have, you know, they understand each other in just kind of this deep way that I feel like Emily's kind of been longing for a long time.
Yeah.
So there's just like this connection and intimacy that kind of instantly forms and then gets deeper and deeper throughout the course of the summer as they, you know, go on all these adventures and spend time together.
Working
their way through the list.
What's
12 nice? Chances to fall in love.
Absolutely. And just in time too.
What
I like about Blake is that, because I love, because I'm not like this, I love people who are self-aware. And she's incredible. Mm-hmm. She is like on steroids self-aware.
Yeah.
And very, you know, happy with the person she is and the choices she's made. And that, of course, there's conflict there with Emily, who is just not there yet. And wants to be deep down, even tries to be occasionally, but is still stuck in that weird box that they put people in, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, know, definitely still struggling with that.
Expectations and, mm-hmm. and, you know, peer pressure and all these crazy things that kids have to go through. You know, and so one of the things I liked about it was, and we talked about this earlier, there are no villains in this book. And, yes. and that includes Emily's friends.
Yes, absolutely.
Who are they're trying hard to, and, you know, they're not, and they're really great with her, I think. And they're reacting mm-hmm, to some mm-hmm. shitty stuff she did.
Yeah. well within all of their rights.
It's high school crap, right? It's silly in the grand scheme, but it means everything back then. And that's absolutely. Fine. That's fine. And a lot of it too is, you know, because there's just some miscommunication. There's mm-hmm. There's lack of communication too, in some cases. So you definitely. Have her friends who are really trying to do the right thing, but end up doing kind of the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
What was getting to that point in the book is important when you have stories like this, and sort of talk about getting to that point in the book for you when you were writing that. Was that any personal experience with that with you? Like just sort of how would, you know, did you have friends react a certain way one way or the other? Cause I have friends that have come out and lost all their friends.
No. Yeah, no, definitely so, not. Yeah. yeah. Luckily all my friends were when I personally came out, we're very cool with it. Right. which I was very fortunate for. And yeah, I mean, for Emily's story, you know, as you mentioned, her friends were upset because she did something at junior prom, and they were all well within their right. But also, you know, I think in Emily's case, and I think, you know, I think also maybe a little bit my own personal life, you know, her very best friend was just upset that, not necessarily about her coming out, but for a long time, I feel like this was like the final straw. For a long time, Emily just hadn't really been open with her since, you know, her mom's death, hadn't really relied on her and maybe talked to her even about small stuff, small things to let her know how she was feeling about her relationship with her ex-boyfriend, about how she was feeling, about her grief even. So yeah, I think it was really interesting, you know, you have these friends that you grow up with that, you know, are very near and dear to your heart, but sometimes you do have those bumps in the road where maybe you don't see eye to eye. And those are all just, you know, moments to grow, moments to change. And either you come closer together at the end, or, you know, maybe sometimes you drift apart. But yeah, it was definitely an interesting dynamic to work through.
Last question. What was it putting together this list, the lucky list?
Mm-hmm.
Was that just, you know, did you have any help doing that? Were you just like have a big whiteboard? You just started writing things down? Like because some of the items makes, you know, are just very practical, you know, you can't have her like, it's geographical too. I mean, you can't have her, you know, visit the Empire State Building or anything like that or something stupid, right? You know what I mean? But
no, I totally know what you mean. Yeah. Yeah, I think it was a mix. I mean, it was a couple things. Part of it was just like stuff that I personally would probably want on a summer bucket list, you know. Yep. You know, then there's also the time constraint of summer, the time constraint of distance, kind of like what you talked about. So I definitely wanted to have some fun items that maybe would show up on just about anybody's bucket list, you know, get a tattoo or, you know, get out of town or, you know, maybe kiss somebody or do something adventurous like that. Yep. But then I also just kind of wanted stuff that was like very Huckabee centered, you know, steal an apple from the first tree or, go on the Huckabee Lake trip, which is just very innate to, you know, Emily's experience and pretty much anybody that goes to Huckabee High. So yeah, I wanted a way to, you know, just kind of have these classic summer adventures, but also have, you know, just adventures that are very particular to the small chaotic
practical and practical and legal things for teenagers.
Right. Sure.
PC things for the most part. Yeah,
definitely.
The Lucky List comes out June 1st. I really enjoyed this book, and I just appreciated the sappiness, the sappiness, the saccharine moments, the big epic, you know, finish. We end up learning some things about her mother and her father too. You know, that's, you know, sort of a nice little surprise thing at the end. And so it's really great. Cause as we're getting to, you know, we're getting to know her parents through Emily's grief and through her experiences and then through her piecing her life back together. And a lot of wonderful moments with her and she, with her friends, she works at a bakery, you know, part-time, and there's some really great stuff going on there. And there's a lot to this book, and I really appreciated your thoughtfulness and your sensitivity when it came to grief and loss. And I really thought that was really great, Rachel. And because it's tricky things to maneuver there. And I think you did it really well without sort of losing focus of what the you know, the idea of the book is too, right? So because
definitely you know, I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah,
so much.
Like you want me crying, but not because right now, not because you know parents are dying. You want
right. You want me what was the Goodreads review? Lippincott emotional porn. There you go.
Where did it go? I'm almost a little tired of the Lippincott emotional porn.
There we go.
That's got to be on the back of the paperback, right?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Oh god. Anyways, oh, so yeah, had a great time. Is there any anywhere you'd like people to pick this book up? Any local places, or do you have any events going on?
Yeah, I right now have a pre-order thing going on with White Whale Bookstore in Pittsburgh. You can get 2 stickers that my wife Allison designed, and I will sign and personalize it for you.
Okay.
And also, you can possibly win 1 of 3 Lucky List themed tote bags, which is super exciting. And I do also have an event with them, a launch event on the 2nd of June with Morgan Mattson. So hope to see you there.
Where can we sign up for that? Where's the links for that?
You can, I actually have it in the bio on my Instagram. So you can just go right there, click the link on there, or check it out on whitewhalebookstore.com. They have a whole list of their events.
Awesome. I'm definitely going to sign up for that launch event. I love launch event. I love launch event. You'll know it's me. They'll be like the dumbest. They'll be like, man, that's a dumb question. Like that. That's Steve. Or maybe I'll steal a line from that Goodreads review. Maybe.
That'd be great. Yeah, that'd be good. I'll know from there. It'll be like the smoke signal.
What'll happen is there'll be another one with the same line, and it'll be like, oh no, there's more than
either or.
There's more than one of them. Yeah.
That's too funny.
Thank you so much, my friend. Good luck with the second dose tomorrow. And
thank you so much.
Yep. I'm glad you're vaccinated. You get out in the world, reemerge, and do all the fun things that we love to do.
I'm excited and ready. Thank you so much for having me on again. This is a real blast. I always have a good time.
We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
There you have it. Another episode of Everything is Canon all wrapped up. Huge thanks to Rachel for taking the time to chat with me today. I'm a big fan of not only her writing, but her as a person as well. The Lucky List is out now, so pick up a copy wherever books are sold. As always, be sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you choose to listen, and head on over to cinelinks.com for the latest movie, TV, books, and gaming news. Please continue to be safe out there. Bye for now.